This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof.
Where's the Priest?
She's, you know, she's here in spirit.
Good evening, Priestie, if you're listening, darling.
Of course she's listening. Of course she is. Now, what have we got coming up on tonight's show? We've got this fantastic woman on later called Cynthia. You might remember Cynthia coming on the show earlier to teach us a little bit about Lemurian chanting. So she'll be talking with us a little bit about that and about her trip over to Hawaii and what's going to happen at the end of the world, 2012. And also joining us in the studio, we do have a very special guest, Rod, who has been working with a community church called The Vibe. Rod, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Now, we're going to catch up a little bit later. Our first song is called... Actually, this is one of yours, Bertie.
It is one of mine. I went all Christmassy because this is actually my last show before Christmas. So I've gone all Christmassy, and this is wonderful. This is Christine Aguilera, and this is called, appropriately, The Christmas Song.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. Of course, the Priest is here in spirit only today.
The absent priest.
Now, one of our very special guests from the Freedom of Spirit Outside broadcast is Rod. Rod's a gay Christian and lives in a small community in Gippsland. He's only told a few of his close friends about his sexuality and has experienced a mixed response. Through this journey, Rod has been leading a young church taking shape in his garage shed called The Vibe. Welcome back to the Spirit Lounge, Rod.
Thank you, Andrew. You know where the name The Vibe came from, by the way?
No.
Oh, come on. Are you Australian or not?
Oh, wait, it's like Mabo.
Yes, it's the Constitution, it's Mabo, it's The Vibe.
The Vibe.
It's everything. It's based on the castle.
Well, I'm just wondering what goes on in that garage of yours or that shed.
Yes. Well, it is a shed.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to that later.
More about that later.
You were married and you've got a family with children. How do you even start to consider that you might not be straight when you're kind of so far down that straight path of life? Mm.
Yeah, look, I want to go back and be born in this era. Okay, when I was growing up, the worst insult you could get around the schoolyard was homo.
Yeah.
You're a homo.
Yeah, you big poof.
Yeah, so yeah. I think you're gay before you realise even what it is to be gay. And the thought of actually being gay and accepting it is just not on the cards. I'm 51, so I'm born in the 60s. It just was not, you couldn't be. Yeah. So before I realised I was... I guess I was aware that there was something different and just in total denial about it. Because I went to an all-boys school, was very sport-orientated, yeah, and very He-Man of the Universe-orientated, and I knew I didn't fit in. Mm-hmm. I knew I hated sport. I knew I wanted to shampoo my hair and all that sort of stuff. And, yeah.
Shampoo and conditioner. You
of
must
course.
Be gay.
Yes, that's right.
So what age were you when you kind of felt... you were a bit different, and could you in any way identify that difference or understand that difference?
Oh, yeah, I could. Yeah. In the teen years, there was all sorts of experimenting going on. It was an all-boys school, and there was obviously other gays there.
You weren't alone.
But all hidden away, of course,
yeah,
in the dark.
Yeah.
And it was a fearful thing to feel that way and be doing those things. But you always had in the back of your mind, this is just a stage I'm going through. I'll get over this. You know, there'll be a cure. This will all be over soon.
It's part of growing up.
I can even remember thinking around 13, 14, how ragingly gay I was. But by 20, this has got to be over by 20. You know, and then it was going to be over by 25 and then whatever. And I became a Christian when I was around 21. So the whole idea of you can't be gay seems stronger then.
Yeah.
It was reinforced it all the more. Because now I had not only this fear of people thinking that I might be gay or finding out, but, you know, that there could be worse ramifications, and that the social structure that I had landed in, which I loved, the church, and was like a womb to me, was very embracing. Mm-hmm. But you definitely couldn't be gay there.
Yeah.
So did that environment force you to lead a double life somewhat?
Yeah, although I'd say to a certain extent I already was, because I was gay and not admitting it to anyone. I was always, you know, if I was doing anything gay, it was in the dark, in the shadows, in the background.
Yeah.
But there was always this facade of an acceptable life. And I had girlfriends and whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But the thing about being married is that from the very first date when I was going out with the girlfriend that became my wife, I told her because I really liked her and I thought I could see this going somewhere, and she had to know that there was this dark side that I was struggling with. And the relationship continued. Sorry, you wanted to say something, but just let me get this out.
It shut me up then, didn't it?
Oh, sorry. No, you
I think
we'll come
you
back
should
to
be
you.
On our show more often.
And back to Sue in just a moment. But I thought this could really go somewhere, but I didn't want to be 6 months down the track and thinking, oh, I should have said something by now. You know when you get talking to someone down the market and you don't know their name and now it's too late to ask because you've been talking for 5 minutes and yep. You should have asked straight away? So I told her, but it was all on the basis of, but of course, I know this is wrong. You know, you can't be gay. Of course, I'm repenting. I'm retraining my mind. I'm learning how to think in a new way and not be gay anymore. And there were times when I had slip-ups and it caused real dramas in our relationship because she saw it as me choosing to do bad and evil things,
yeah,
not just who I was, just wanting to find its way out, and there's nothing you can do to kill it.
See, I love your story. I've got so many. I feel like I have to put my hand up when I want to ask you a question because he'll just roll on and on, won't he? You've got such a fascinating life. Now, a lot of I'm same age as you, and a lot when you're born in the 60s, raised in the 70s and 80s, and a lot of us, me included, when I was just defining my sexuality, there was quite a phase that I went through, and I just said I'm bisexual.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Did you do the bisexual phase?
Yep, of course, yeah.
And so your future wife, is that? Did you use that word? Did that make it easier, make it better?
Or? Yeah, 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 bisexual.
So she married you knowing or thinking that you were bisexual?
Thinking that I was in the process of getting rid of that horrible, sinful, dark side of me,
that disease.
Yes, that's right.
And she was obviously very in love with you then. She wanted to marry you and have your children. And are you still friends today?
No, but that's a more complicated story for another time. But yeah.
Okay. Right. We're going to come back and talk some more because we just love your story.
We're about to play one of your tracks. It's called Give a Heart a Home.
Give your heart a home.
He can't read.
I am slightly dyslexic. Don't tease me about it. It's just another thing that makes me unique.
Have you heard any Don Francisco stuff before?
I have never heard him before.
He's awesome.
It's not like the music that we normally play on Joy.
Oh, I'm sorry, listeners. It's my fault.
Tell me why. What do you get out of this song?
Oh, it's beautiful. Don Francisco sings this as if it's Jesus singing to you. So there were times in the vibe when we would have a lot of worship and we'd be singing, and then I'd say to people, now it's time for Jesus to have a chance to sing to us, and we'd all just sit quietly and listen, and we'd have some of the Don Francisco songs. This one, Give Your Heart a Home, he's appealing to people to not be double-minded about their faith. And for me, what it would mean now is a bit different to what it was when I first fell in love with it. But what it means now is don't think to yourself that whatever you're struggling with, be it anything to do with your sexuality or anything else, you're loved by God and you can love Him. It's that those avenues are always open. But back then, when I fell in love with this song, it was one of those small comforts where when I was in a good phase where I wasn't being gay, I was just loving God and He was loving me and everything was clean, I'd listen to this song and love it. Now, it's a whole new thing. Let's give your heart a home in God no matter what.
Let's have a listen.
Let's have a listen.
Joy 94.9.
The Mayan calendar might be finishing, but the Joy 94.9 GLHV 2013 calendar is just getting started. 13 glorious months of photos featuring your favourite Joy 94.9 presenters, including all the important dates on the LGBTI events calendar. It's not the end of the world, but it will be if you miss out on the Joy 94.9 GLHV 2013 calendar. Call 1300-JOY-949 to order your piece of Joy history, or drop by the studios and bring one home today. It's the perfect Christmas gift for you or a friend. Take a look for yourself. See joy.org.au and click the shop tab. That's joy.org.au.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen. Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff and the gorgeous Rod all the way from Gippsland.
I am gorgeous, aren't
you?
I?
You are gorgeous. And we were trying to make Mr. P laugh when he was doing that live read, and we nearly succeeded, didn't we?
Yeah, but sorry if I actually did lick your knee. Are your jeans wet?
We would be very naughty in the studio, but that you're terribly professional, Mr. P. Well done.
He went red, though. That was a bit of an accomplishment.
Aren't we horrible? We're having Christmas fun here, aren't we? Now, back to the plot, Mr. Rod. Rod joined us when we did our outside broadcast a couple of months ago, and his story is an amazing one. And you, I've just said off air, you're a natural. You know, we need to get you a show on Joy Radio, definitely. Now, let's get back to the plot. So, you got married, you had four kids.
Yes.
Your wife kind of knew you were bisexual.
Yes, although that was all supposed to be gone, remember?
Yeah, that was all meant to be harsh. Yeah, you were cured at this point.
Supposed to be cured, yes.
So you trundle along being a husband and a father and a community person.
Can you picture us trundling off every Sunday morning in our little minivan with four kids?
A good church-going man.
Yes.
And so at what point did you decide enough was enough and you've got to start telling people, your nearest and dearest, about how you really feel? And who did you tell? Friends, family? How did the church react?
That actually all came about after my marriage ended.
So it wasn't the cause of the
marriage? For reasons that were quite complex from within the family structure, the kids wanted to be in a different location, and so did I. So is that worded delicately enough for the radio? I relocated, and then the kids wanted to live with me, and that had to be a little bit of a court case involved, and that happened, and the kids came to live with me. But in those years after my marriage was over, I was able to throw myself into my faith, which is something I'd always wanted to do, and that's when I got very involved in the local church. The whole bit. Friday night youth group, Sunday school. I was a deacon on the worship leading team. In fact, the ministry that began in my sheds grew out of something that was going on within that local church setting anyway. And the two overlapped for quite some time. And I could never have thrown myself into my faith the way that happened in that period if I still was within the restraints of the family life that was going on.
Now, what's interesting about what you've just said is that I thought you were going to say, the marriage ended, kids came to live with me, that gave me the space and the freedom to actually discover my own sexuality and come out as a gay man and look for a gorgeous young man.
Again.
So actually, why did your marriage limit you from worshipping the way you wanted to? Or restrict you, perhaps is a better word.
Yeah, it's a complex question to answer. I guess if all my faith was about was playing the religious game. Oh, you can't do air quotes on the radio, can you?
No, you can't.
Everyone, just look at your radio at the moment. playing the religious game. See the air quotes? You can see them if you look at the radio.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, but if you're driving, don't look at the radio. So if all it meant was saying grace and going to church on Sundays, we all would have been quite happy. But my encounters with God were surprisingly personal and upfront and deep, and my connections with God went way beyond what I would see as described and confined to the normal religious life. So, to want to live and breathe my faith day and night, and I'd get up in the morning and read the Bible, and I'd want to be doing evangelism on the streets or leading Bible studies and that sort of thing.
So at that stage, it was more important for you to grow your religious participation and beliefs than explore your sexuality.
Oh yeah, very much so. But I'd say it was predominantly about the relationship with the kids, and there were some tensions within the house that were unlivable for most of the members of the family. I've got to be delicate.
Yeah, no, I think you're doing
very well. These people are all still alive.
They are, and they may be listening.
Yeah, so we made a home separate from the original home, and faith was all plodding along nicely. And during this period, I had come to terms with the idea of not doing square dancing with God. Have you ever done square dancing?
Is it like Morris dancing in
England? I've done square dancing.
Morris dancing's just jumping up and down, isn't it? But I'm thinking, you know, the two steps in, two steps out. Like there's so
doing
much.
Doing the do-si-do,
shaking all about.
And what I mean by that is, I always had this thing where if, you know, if I was being clean and pure and, you know, you could look at my sheets without any embarrassment, then, you know, my relationship with God was going really well, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if I was doing dirty and unclean things, then my relationship with God was going really badly. And so it was like stepping in and stepping out of a good relationship with God. Then there was this kind of epiphany, if you like, where I came to realize that you could talk to God about the things that were going on in your heart in the present tense. Mm-hmm. Now, the classic example I like to use is young guys with masturbation. If there's kids struggling with masturbation, they'll feel guilty. So they'll confess to God. They'll go, "Dear God, you know, I'm sorry that I masturbated," you know, and they want to feel right again. And it's a whole load of bullshit because they know they're going to do it again.
So, but confession means that's cleansed them for that day, has it?
Yeah, until the next time. Yeah, or until, you know, if you're 13 or 14, another half an hour. So to be able to come before God and go, "Look, as I talk to you now, this is what's in my heart. This is what I want. This is what I know I'm going to do. This is what lies within me." And to find peace in that and to journey with God with whatever's in there coming with you, that's a wonderfully liberating experience.
Yep.
You're not square dancing in and out of peace with God all the time.
Yep.
You're bringing everything that is you with you on the journey. And it was in that space after my marriage was over that I felt free to just start communing with God about that more, being open with some of my closest friends about, you know, "Look, this is who I am and I can't turn it off. I've never been able to. I had to try very hard to make it look turned off in my married life. Now I can explore it and journey with God in it."
Mm. And so you started The Vibe.
Yeah.
What's The Vibe?
The Vibe's a church based in a shed for people.
Is it a big shed?
Yeah, it is a big shed. Yeah. as for people who are not very religious, but are interested in knowing God and walking with God. So you got a picture, no pews or anything, there's couches.
Yeah.
And the floor is painted black. You've got a projector and a screen and everything, but it still looks like a shed and there's still saws and things hanging on the wall. There's a dunny in the corner. But no stained glass, no candles, nothing religious. You're allowed to say shit and no one will fall off a chair. There's no sermons. And yet our services could go anything from 3 to 5 hours.
Wowee.
And it was mostly young people, although we did have a wide range of ages. People would sometimes drink at The Vibe. It was a very non-judgmental environment.
It sounds like quite a cool church. I think I might start going to church. Should I move to Gippsland and start going to the shed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're having a hiatus at the moment. But yeah, if it gets fired up again, you're welcome to.
So what was it that actually sparked the idea, "Oh, hey, I'm going to start a church in my backyard"?
It all sort of happened around me. When I was in my local church, I led one of the discussion groups that happened during the evening service. So there'd be a brief sermon and then the discussion groups would break away. And I just happened to have all the young guys, like from 18 through to 24, in my group. "What are you all looking at behind me? Just hang on, everyone.
There's all sorts of people walking in and out and in and out of the radio station.
Not concentrating on me at all. Just giggling over my shoulder.
Of course we're listening.
So I led this discussion group. And then a few of them went to the leadership and said, "Look, we want more of Rod. So can you ask him if he can do something at his house?" So as well as leading that discussion group, they were coming to my house. So it all started in my lounge room originally. And then more people heard about it. And this guy's really cool. And we talk about the Bible and it's not, you know, it's pretty relaxed. Mm. And then it progressed to the shed. And then at one point we had about 32 regulars.
Because it's quite a brave thing to do, isn't it? Because, you know, congregations are shrinking in most churches and yet you're trying to grow a new church.
Well, it's something totally different, you see. We weren't doing what all the other churches in town were doing.
This is the alternative church.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Stay with us because we're going to talk more about the alternative church.
All right.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff, and we're talking to Rod from the Vibe Church down in Gippsland. Now, we have another tune, and this is the same chap again. Tell us more about Don Francisco.
Oh, this one's called "I Don't Care Where You've Been Sleeping." And what I like about this one is that
it's a cheeky little title, isn't it?
It is, yes. And again, it's Don Francisco is singing it as though Jesus was singing to us. And what I like about it is the whole focus of our faith is that He loves us and we accept that love. And we don't earn it by being good little boys and girls. So what he's saying in the song is, whatever you're up to, just know me and walk with me. And if we need to deal with stuff, we'll deal with it. But come to me.
Okay.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge with the Priest of the Palm and the Poof. And we've got a special guest in the studio tonight, Rod. Welcome back to the Spirit Lounge.
Thank you, Andrew.
Now, you've been running this church out of your shed called The Vibe. And I noticed when I was looking at The Vibe's website, it's pretty heavy on the YouTube channel. You've got lots of things up there and some of it's really great. And you've got a few videos about difficult topics such as sex before marriage, masturbation and homosexuality. And to be honest, they're the ones that I clicked on first.
Well, you're not alone, Andrew.
Now, I noticed that most of the videos were uploaded a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When I guess you were a little bit further in the closet than you are now.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
How do you reckon being in the closet affected your teaching at that time?
Oh, dramatically, yeah. We don't have preaching at The Vibe, so those snippets are made to look like they're taken out of The Vibe services. But we didn't actually have any preaching at The Vibe, even though we'd go for 3 or 5 hours. So what I did was, because I normally dye my hair, I dyed it especially for the radio. I didn't want to look old on the radio.
I was wondering why it was pink.
Yeah. So I didn't dye my hair and I grew a beard for a couple of weeks. So if you watched all the YouTubes, you'll see that on some of them I've got a beard, some I've got grey hair, some I look quite clean shaven with dark hair. But it was all done on the one day.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we borrowed the camera and it was all set up and we had a fake audience there. And
you had a makeup artist.
That's it. And I had a PowerPoint to trigger me with all the little sermonettes and I just reeled them off sort of off the top of my head, right? Yeah. Now, the weird thing is we'd been doing this all day and I'd been running up and changing my appearance and, you know, we were moving things in the shed so it looked like it was a different day. And then, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock we decided, oh, God, I've had enough of this. You know, it's time to pack up. And someone said, do one on masturbation. And the guy with the cameraman goes, okay, rolling. No preparation whatsoever. I'm just staring at the camera, doing one on masturbation. To be honest, I haven't listened to a lot of those. I've got no idea what I said. And then I got through that one, all right. And then someone said, do one on homosexuality. Well, I nearly died because I wasn't out. In fact, no one in The Vibe, there was about more than 30 people coming regularly then. Sunday afternoons were just a buzz. All afternoon, cars would be arriving and we'd have this rehearsal thing. Wouldn't start till 6 and they'd be arriving at 2 and still there at 11. It was so, so exciting. And here they all sitting there looking at me. The camera's rolling and I've got to do one on homosexuality. Have you listened to it? What the hell did I say on it? Because while I'm talking, I'm picturing behind the cameraman, my ex-wife just squinting at me with these judgmental eyes, thinking, yes, that'd be right. But I was also picturing on either side of her, these people out there who surf YouTube, young people who are generation-wise, they know nothing about our faith. They've never read the Bible. They haven't been to Sunday school. Mm-hmm. They think Easter is all about chocolate eggs. They know nothing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to appeal to those people. If you're into porn or if you're trying to break the world's record of masturbation or whatever it is you're into, homosexuality, God is there and he loves you and you can respond. And I didn't know how to think off the top of my head and talk to them and yet not say things that would cross the judgmental eyes.
So how have your views changed on all of these juicy topics over the years and since you've done all those videos? I mean, obviously, you're very good at spontaneity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how have your views changed now?
Well, since the start of The Vibe, I don't think my theology has changed too much, although I'm much more open about where I'm at. And I certainly see the journey as something you can embrace in your faith much more easily than I did for 5 or 6 years ago when The Vibe was starting. But in my early days in the faith, I was really judgmental. I was a pain in the ass. In fact, I don't think my family have begun to forgive me for how over the top I was and how judgmental I was when I first came to the faith.
I must say there was a little snippet in one of your YouTube videos I watched, and I know that they were on the spot, and it was about having sex before marriage.
Oh, okay. Was that one of them? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know all these sex ones that were asked at the end of the day, they're the ones that get all the hits. When I do my stats, All the stuff I wanted to say, you know, there'd be a third of the numbers.
But what do you think people search for anyway? Of course they're going to get all the hits.
Yeah, of course.
No, but what I noticed is that there was one point in there where you had talked about marriage being between a man and a woman.
Oh, did I?
Now,
that was then.
From your reaction, I'm guessing that you might like to revise some of your theology. Would I be right in thinking that?
Oh, look, that could be true. The theology is a moving target the whole time. I may have been commenting from a specific context about a specific thing. If I was talking about sex before marriage, it may have been... I was thinking when I was talking that I'm already in a context of people that are in a straight relationship and heading in that direction.
Yeah.
I don't think I even did one on gay marriage, did I?
Not that I found.
No.
That would have been in your questions.
And if we kept going, uploading those to YouTube all the time, we would have had a gay marriage one in which I would have said, I wish the church would pull its head out of its own ass, because seriously, by playing in the political arena the way it does, it's as if the church thinks you can make the world Christian by adhering to all the rules and regulations about what you do and don't do, and it cannot be done. So if you promote the fact that God loves you and has given Christ to die for you, if you promote that, then whoever they're married to, they'll come to know God. You can't do it the other way around.
So one last question, because we sadly need to move on to other things. So out in Gippsland, out in rural Australia, what advice would you give to youngsters listening to the program tonight in terms of coming out and just coping?
Yeah, well, firstly, if they're listening to the program because it's the Spirit Lounge, the first thing I would say is don't let anything at all, come between the fact that God loves you and wants to know you. So don't think you've got to clean up your act and get it all together and be a good little boy before you can come to know him.
Or girl.
Good little boy or girl. Get the relationship with God happening. And then if there's things he wants to sort out, he knows how to do it in you over time in a way that comes from within, not by hitting you with a lump of 4B2. Mm. That would be the first thing. The second thing, I guess, is I think it is harder in the country to come out. And I'm only saying that anecdotally, but I would say as many people as you possibly can tell. I'm only doing it progressively myself. So
sure. Yeah,
ask me again in a few years. But if you can tell people, do. Because the more people that know, the more free you are to be yourself.
And what is your website if people want to have a look at The Vibe?
www.thevibe.com.au.
So easy. Rod, it's been an absolute pleasure to see you again. I'm sure you'll be back.
Thank you.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we're continuing our series of talking to our favourite guests that we've met this year.
Just a select favourite
ones. Just a select few.
You
know. And we're joined now by Cynthia, a Mackay-based spiritual facilitator, nurse, teacher and author, who's been on our programme before. And last time we chatted, she was here in Melbourne to attend the Lemurian Tonal Choir rehearsals. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Sue. Hello, Andrew.
It's great to have you back. Now, for the benefit of our listeners who perhaps missed our wonderful interview in August, can you remind us of what the Lemurian Pineal Tone Choir does?
Okay, well, the Lemurian Choir reunion is about activating the pineal tones that have been latent or dormant in most of us since Lemurian times. Our pineal gland is actually something that we all have inside our skull, if you like, and it contains all of the original blueprints for our DNA. We all have it, and we all have it stored latently within us. And the activation of the choir is to reignite the memory or the information that we have inside ourselves and allow it to become active again in our physical bodies.
So you were all rehearsing for a special date that we're going to talk about in a minute. So what was the rehearsal like?
It was fantastic. It was amazing. There was 160 people in the room, and very few of us had met each other before, but we knew each other. We knew each other on another level, and when someone was about to ask a question, it would be answered before the words were out of their mouth, and there was all of this deep recognition happening with everyone going, oh, my God, I haven't seen you for I don't know how many lifetimes.
Oh, my goodness. And were the people who were there, Cynthia, are they from different walks of life and ages and races and creeds? And
everything. Absolutely. Every walk of life, every creed, every age, every denomination that you can think of. There were people from Malaya. There were people from New Zealand, there were people, obviously, from all over Australia.
Wow. Now, there's been heaps on the news and the radio and in the media recently about this big date of the 21st of December 2012. And now, for listeners, if you haven't heard about this, you must have locked yourself away in a box somewhere because, you know, a lot of people are calling this the Armageddon and people are saying it's the day of calling and the world's going to collapse. And so this... Quiet, this rehearsing that you've been doing, you're all off to Hawaii to get there by December 21st. And this is when the Lemurian Choir are going to revive this ancient method of choiring, which tell us more about that. What significance is that going to play to save the planet on the 21st of December?
It's not so much about saving the planet. It's about raising the consciousness. And as we all have our own energetic matrix around our own individual human bodies, our Earth has a electric magnetic grid around her as well. And the tonings are to raise the consciousness of everyone on our planet and also for our planet, for the healing and renewal of what's yet to come.
And are you the only group who are capable of doing this?
I don't think so, no. I'm sure there are many, many groups who are capable of raising the consciousness as well. And as the ripple effect happens when anything is being done on such a great level, there are many people that are having their own private gatherings to celebrate this momentous date in time, and their gatherings will coincide to increase the energy even more.
So if the whole toning concept is to raise consciousness, it seems like it doesn't actually have to be linked to that date on the 21st of December. Why have you chosen that date?
Well, this date has been pivotal throughout time. It's been coming forever. And if we go to ancient mythologies and the Mayan calendar, I mean, the Mayan calendar itself actually finishes on the 21st of the 12th, 2012. But that wasn't the end of their calendar. That was the end of their projected calendars at a time in ancient history when they then went into some kind of chaos after they'd finished recording their calendar. So they didn't do any future past that date for some time.
But it's the end of a cycle, isn't it? And the Mayans that you're referring to are their tribes in Mexico, is that right?
Correct.
Hmm.
I don't know that, Sue, I'm not so sure that it's the end of a cycle. It's a pivotal point of a time. I personally believe that we all stem from another galaxy far, far away, which is, you know, 410 light years from our planet Earth.
Yeah.
And this star system, if you like, actually takes 52,000 of our years to complete one of their years. So in my mind and in my thinking, we're really reaching their solstice for a six-month cycle because it's 26,000 years, allegedly, since Lemuria receded and went back to the sea.
And why is all of this taking place in Hawaii?
Why particularly Dr. Todd has chosen Hawaii is because it is believed that the Hawaiian Islands are all that is left of this ancient civilization that resides above the surface of the ocean. And if you go down to the floor of the ocean, you'll see a whole system of mountains that once existed above.
And this was the land of Lemuria?
Yes.
Fascinating stuff. Well, I hope lots and lots of people turn up. I wonder if this is a very clever marketing ploy by the Hawaiian Tourist Board.
Except the Hawaiian Tourist Board didn't know much about it. So, you know, I did check on that one. And no, they have very little knowledge of what's going on at all. All of this, of course, will be made very public afterwards.
Well, indeed.
Any of the listeners that are wanting to know more about the Lemurian Choir can simply Google www.lemurianchoir.com and obtain all of the information they want. There's a lot of what's in there can be made redeemable to the public, but the actual choir and the tones for the choir itself is being kept private at Dr. Todd's request until this date.
So it's word of mouth. And are you going to spend Christmas and New Year in Hawaii as well?
No, I'm coming home to Australia.
Mm.
We get home on the 23rd.
Well, what can we say? We wish you luck and enjoy the whole experience.
I'm excited. I have no idea what this is going to do to me personally, but from everything else that has happened this year, I am sure it's just going to enhance my growth to another level.
Wow. And what plans do you have for 2013 then, Cynthia?
Well, I've made a few concrete plans about workshops and retreats that I'm running, but at this point in time, I'm holding everything open as we do to see where things may or may not go to.
Wow, how exciting. Well, come and see us next time you're in Melbourne again, because we always love listening to your stories.
Listen at work, on the treadmill, or even on the toilet. The new Joy app on your iPhone. The new Joy app on your iPhone. Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9.
The perfect mix of music, news, and interviews. Joy 94.9.
And that's been the Spirit Lounge for another week. And I'd like to personally say Merry Christmas, because that's my last one until the new year.
Yeah, you're running away, leaving me all alone in the studio.
We're leaving Mr. P all on his own, but we will be here.
I might have some friends come and join me. We'll see.
You've got them lined up, have you?
Maybe. I'm not saying anything else. You can't push me for an answer.
Anyway, Spirit Lounge is here every week on a Tuesday from 8 to 9, and we will be back, the Three Musketeers, in January. Bye for now.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.